All right, Mr. DeRoy, it's your turn. Death piles and taxes. You have been sitting on this hot piece of news, hot story for a long time.
Months at this point.
Oh, I still remember. I'm still a little fishy on the details, but if you could go back and tell 10-year-old DeRoy that you would be in the places that you are now, I think you'd be tickled pink.
There's just something. I'm kind of a Forrest Gump of sorts. I tell people what happened to me, and they kind of look and say, oh, of course it did. Most people would have something like this happen once in a lifetime. I usually have it once in a week.
I mean, the back door to the All-Star game we were up at last year, you're always in places. It's right places, right time. So
you put yourself in situations and things happen.
I'm going to put you in the driver's seat, DeRoy. You give us your special story you got. I wouldn't even call this derailed with DeRoy. This is just real hard facts.
Story time, we're not derailed. This is a very special episode of Death.
Let's hear it, my friend.
Well, many people know. It's no secret. I enjoy the pro wrestling.
He came in special today. He just had to take off the Lucha Lore mask. He is in the singlet. It's a sight to be seen, people.
If we had those cameras like we should have had, like you said, we'd be making big bucks.
Triple the views.
But we aren't, and this is where we live.
Okay.
So I can come in and, you know, get comfortable.
Oh, yes. There is definitely some comfort going on.
So we have festivals that come to our state, film festivals. Once a year, there's a big one called Sundance.
Oh, yeah.
And it happens, I think it's February,
yep.
January-ish.
Usually February-ish.
And, you know, what happens is a lot of these Hollywood elites, big name A-list players, come into town and they drive up to Park City, which is a pretty small community, in all honesty. And they'll have debuts of their independent films, but it's kind of grown into more of like just a big Hollywood get-together film festival party type weekend. It goes for a couple weeks, but the main course is about one weekend. And I've been up there a few times, but traditionally I just try to stay away from it because it just turns into a nightmare. Have you ever went up to any of that?
No, it's always during tax time. I got to work. I've had a client that she works up there, and I've had several clients that have had a couple films in there, so it's interesting.
It's interesting, but, I mean, there's nowhere. I mean, it's miles getting into town. It all gets jammed up. You can't find parking spots, and there's snow. And a lot of people like to go gawk. It's a fun thing to do if you're kind of into people watching, or if you fancy a celebrity that's there, and you can go up and try to get a picture, autograph, or whatever. It's kind of a unique thing that happens, especially our state's traditionally a lot more conservative than that. We do have films and stuff shot there, but it's just kind of a different atmosphere for Utah. This year, there's another festival that runs with the same time, and they kind of piggyback on it, called Slam Dance. Have you ever heard of Slam Dance?
Isn't that what Painter does in the district in Germany?
It's very similar.
Okay,
very
I just wanted to check.
Yeah, it's another music era. Well, they have musicians and stuff come play too. It's another festival. It's kind of playing off the name of Slam. There's Sundance, Slam Dance. Kind of sounds similar enough that you could probably, I think originally the idea was we can trick some people into thinking they're going to one and they come to the other.
Yeah.
A little smaller, but still independent film festival. A lot of movies come from it. You kind of get the people that are there that can buy and stuff. And if you can convince them to come over to your festival,
yeah,
it's just kind of taking advantage of a situation.
It's kind of like DeRoy, where he was giving the samples away. That's what this is you're basically sampling your movie and hoping somebody wants to pick it up and sell your product.
Or, you know, somebody can't get into a Sundance, but you can come over and watch a Slam Dance. And,
yeah.
You know, you still got to go see a movie. It's pretty cool.
It's kind of like like a double A type level, you know, that you're looking for that talent. You're trying to find that thing that's going to go forth and make you some big bucks.
And, you know, sometimes you find star actors that are kind of at their first stuff and you can sign them to contracts. Sometimes you can find movies and you get the rights to it. And you if you go and do some research, there's a lot of things that you've probably seen or heard that came from these festivals. So this year, it's coming up, and I don't know where I heard or how I found out about it, but there was a movie that was called, let me see what it was called, make sure I get this all correct.
Oh, that way we can...
I can get my tax write-off or whatever. Yeah. Now I'm an influencer.
Yes.
Like you were saying last time. It was called The Death Tour.
Oh, yeah.
It's a movie about professional wrestling, but what The Death Tour is, see, it sounds like it's just a big, violent, bloody mess kind of thing where they go around and bloody up each other and you know, have these death-type matches. What it sounds like. But what it really is there's this tour, a group of like the small independent wrestler people, and a lot of them go on to be bigger stars elsewhere, up in Canada.
Canada, Canuckers.
They get together and they'll go do these tours, but they go up to like the northern indigenous Indian colonies.
Oh yeah,
of like up by the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, up way up high.
It's kind of like, remember when we talked to Coach at the Card.
The coach of the things,
and he'd go fly up and teach some of these indigenous people how to play basketball and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All these stories.
Yeah, he taught them a lot of stuff.
So what happens is the Canadian government and these governments have money,
mm-hmm.
and they say, if you'll come up here and perform, because these people live like hours, like...
Yeah, long way.
Like on a good day,
oh, yeah.
clear shot, 10 hours away from any civilization, and this is in, you know, peak circumstances. What will happen is they come and say, hey, if you'll go, you know, put on these wrestling shows at these reservations,
yeah.
we'll pay you X amount of dollars. And so this guy, Tony is his name.
Of course it's Tony.
Tony Canelo.
Big Tone.
Exactly. Candelo. I said Cornello. Tony Candelo is the promoter, if you will. So he's the guy that puts everything together. They get in these vans. And by vans, I mean like, you know, like a van, like what you're thinking of a van. And then they'll have like another, like a U-Haul type van that has the ring in it.
Says free candy on the side. Or think of like Home Alone when John Candy's in the back, you know, in like a budget truck and everybody's, you know, they're traveling along.
So they'll get together a bunch of these wrestlers and they'll drive from wherever they are. I think they were out of Winnipeg. And they'll just go up to like these. Yeah, but it's like a 10-hour, 12-hour trip up to... middle of nowhere. They'll sleep in the gym, or I mean, they don't have like,
yeah, there's no hotel.
There's no hotel. There's nothing there, and it chronicles kind of this. And I read books, but I read wrestler biographies, and there's like Edge and Chris Jericho, and some of these guys went on these. This is how they got started, because who wants to go do this? So you learn kind of how to wrestle, and you can go on these tours. And you have to sleep like in frigid conditions, and then you perform for like 100 people at a gym, and you drive to the next town. But usually it's during the winter time, and Canadian winters, especially there, are pretty bad, like really bad. And so that's why it's called the Death Tours, because they're like driving across frozen lakes and kind of ice road trucking it.
Oh yeah,
I had one story where I think this was in the movie. Anyways, you should probably go check it out. It's kind of worthwhile if you're...
There's a lot of good reviews. It's got a 9.8 out of 10.
If you're interested in anything I've said here, you're probably interested. But Lance Storm is a guy out of Calgary, Adam. He's a wrestler and a trainer. But he said the joke always was, you'd be driving across the lakes, and you hear cracking sounds because...
Oh, yeah, ice is cracking.
Ice is cracking, but you're safe. But Tony would always joke the guys and say, oh, we're going to fall through. Especially the new guys are just really, really nervous. And so... they'd kind of do these jokes or play these pranks on the new kids, and it was all fun and games. One day, they're driving across the lake, and there's the ring van's in front of them, which is a little heavier, and they're in a van behind, and start hearing the cracking of the ice. And Tony's kind of doing the same, but he's like, I think they're going to fall through. And this guy's like, oh, I know what's going on here. I've heard these stories before, and kind of is laughing. He's like, no, serious, like. And so the van in front of them falls into and through the ice.
Oh, boy.
And they have to get out and go try to save these people. And again, this is frigid conditions. So a lot of these stories about the death.
They're legit stories.
So I'm excited. I'm like, I'm going to go watch this movie because I'm interested. It's kind of my thing. So
it is your thing.
So I get my ticket and I go up to Park City. It's on a Friday. I'm off on Fridays. Everything's lined up D-Roy. And I get up there a little early because I was going to go maybe see if there's some thrift stores or stuff in Park City, do a little sourcing. And lo and behold, there's not really, but I'm glad I did because, like I said, it's a mess. Like, you can't find spots to park. You can't get around. I went and parked at the hotel where this video was going to be shown, this movie, because they're showing it in, like, ballrooms and stuff like that. And I go inside. I'm like, hey, am I good to park here? And they're like, no, you'll be towed. I'm like, what do you mean I'll be towed? I'm here for the slam dance. I got my ticket. And like, yeah, if you're a guest here, you're going to be towed.
Okay.
Okay. Well, all right. And I go to move my car, and I see a couple people coming in. And they look like wrestlers.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You can kind of tell there's a look and whatever. So I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. There's going to be some wrestlers here.
It's my people.
Kind of my people, but it's just they stand out of a crowd. They're usually, you know, bigger built, tattoos, kind of different thing. I mean, you know, so I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. And I go, I have to move my car, like, down to a high school. I have to take a bus in. Take the bus in. I have to come over and come into the place. And I'm still pretty early. Because I gave myself that extra time in case I was going to go sourcing and stuff, and you just have to get up there because you don't know when you're going to get in. So I'm probably an hour, maybe an hour and a half early, and it's just a hotel. So I'm in the hotel lobby, and I'm like, well, I better go see where this movie's going to be shown so I know where I'm going because what else do I got to do? So I'm kind of wandering around, and I turn the corner, and there's like the big press section,
uh-huh.
And they're taking pictures with the slam dance background
drop oh, yeah.
and stuff, and there's kind of a line of people. I look. And there's Chris Jericho.
Oh.
And well, that's Chris Jericho. And,
yeah.
And by him is Tony Candelo. And I happen to know because I kind of looked into this. I've heard the name, but I've seen pictures because I've looked into the movie.
Yeah, you want to know about it. You need your research.
And I'm like, do I approach or do I just leave him be? And I'm like, well, maybe afterwards I'll have something. And I thought, or I don't have a chance.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be that guy, but you also don't want to be the guy that missed out.
Take your shot.
And so I kind of sit there and evaluate up some things, make sure, and they're just kind of talking. So I kind of go up behind him. I said, hey, can I get a picture? Sorry, I'm here for the movie. I'm a fan and all that. And Jericho was nice.
Yeah.
I mean, nice. He's like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, and we kind of take a picture. And I said, oh, I want one with Tony, too. And that put a smile on Jericho's face.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm here for them. I know what's going on.
I'm here to see Big Tone. Chris, so, you're good, but we're on Big Tone.
So I get a picture with him and Tony and like, okay, thanks, guys, you know, and go about my day. And I'm like, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know Jericho was going to be there. He's kind of one of my guys. I enjoy his work.
And those of you that are the accountants in the room, Chris Jericho, he is he's a large superstar in the WWE wrestling in the wrestling world, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's a name that people recognize and know, very big in the late 90s, you know, and he became bigger and bigger, and he's extremely still relevant, you know. He's not Hulk Hogan, but nobody's Hulk Hogan.
But he's wrestled him.
He's
beat The Rock, he's beat Stone Cold.
Oh, yeah. He's
got a Rock Band, Fozzy.
I mean, see, these are all things I didn't know, but he's a big deal.
He's a big deal. And that's kind of cool, and I wasn't expecting him to be there. So that was even more cool. I don't know. And so then I'm like, well, what do I do? Because you can't just.
Yeah.
So there's a grocery store kind of through the parking lot. I'm like, well, I haven't ate yet. It's kind of lunchtime. I'm not going to be able to go find some lunch. It's going to be. So I go over and I have me a lunch. I just give me like chicken nuggets or something they had at the deli. And I eat that. And I've been texting out like Painter and some of the boys. I'm like, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought this would happen. And. Or not in this way.
Like I said, 10-year-old D-Roy, he's 10-year-old excited.
10-year-old D-Roy is excited. And I'm going to go watch this movie, and cool. So I sit there and eat, and I go back over to because it doesn't take you long. When you're just by yourself,
yeah,
it doesn't take you too long.
No,
you're not having a meal.
To do anything.
So I go back over to the hotel, and I you know, I'm in the lobby, and I have me like a Coke or something. I don't know. I have me a bottle of...
Beverage.
A beverage, a can, so I can look. Because I'm like, I just don't want to be doing nothing. So I, yeah. You know, you can kind of act like you're...
Just kind of hanging out.
Yeah. And then I see Jericho again, but he's kind of sitting by himself.
Yeah.
And I can, on his phone, I'm like, he doesn't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell. I'm like, I'm not going to be the guy that just pesters him all day. I'm like, that's kind of cool. So I sit down just in the main lobby, and the previous guy that I saw walk in originally that looked like a wrestler, bald guy and all that, is sitting over there with what looks to be his girlfriend.
Okay.
Oh, she goes outside, and I see her outside, and Tony Cordello's outside, and there's a few other wrestlers, and I think they're smoking or something. I don't know. And so I kind of make eye contact with the guy. I'm like, so you a wrestler? He's like, yeah. I said, oh, cool. I'm here for the movie. I'm kind of, you know, he is talking with me a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is, but he's wrestled a little bit, and he's kind of...
You can tell.
You can tell.
Lived the life.
And so I'm like, yeah, you guys are kind of crazy. Like, with this death torn stuff. But this time, his girlfriend and Tony are coming back in.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I'm not crazy. This guy's crazy. And Tony overhears it and comes over and says, well, and this is like, he's like a 80-year-old man.
Oh, okay.
He's like, lived the life.
Yeah.
But he goes, he says, what, or something like that? I said, what's wrong with you? And he smiles. He sits down by me, and we talk for the next 45 minutes.
Oh, there
best,
you go.
Best friends.
There you go.
All the wrestlers and stuff are kind of congregated around us. Jericho's behind me, and I'm just having this conversation with Tony about these tours, or like, this was before the big Vince McMahon scandal, but we're talking Vince McMahon, that guy, and a lot of things I couldn't say on a family show right now.
Okay.
Of just, you know.
Yeah.
Well, colorful story.
We were around the water cooler.
You know, Andre the Giant, Ric Flair, just all these stories.
Ooh.
For a guy like me,
ooh,
I'm just happy as can be.
10-year-old D-Roy, he is living high.
And they're getting ready for the movie to get going. And like some of the Slam Dance people come over and they're kind of interviewing and talking to some of the people. And I'm still, me and Tony are boys, man.
Yeah.
At this point, we're just buddies. And one of the Slam Dance guys is like, hey, you going to the show? I said, yeah. And he goes, well, do you want a ticket? So I bought one and whatever, but he has a physical ticket there.
Oh.
And I said, well, I'll take that. He goes, oh, you know, somebody might want to come. I said, something like that.
Yeah.
So I get the ticket and I have a pen in my pocket.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, this is world premiere.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not much physical whatever out there anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, Tony, I got to go get in line to go watch your movie. Like, they're just going to put you guys in, but I need to get in line and it's starting here soon. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry for keeping you and all this. I said, can I ask you something? He goes, oh, sure. I said, you might sign this ticket. Like, I know it kind of sounds like, if you don't want to, I get it. But, like, would you mind signing this ticket? He goes, yeah, what's your name? And then I'm like, I'm Derek. And he's like, okay. So he writes, you know, to Derek, Tony Candela. But it was in a pen. It's not a really good autograph because I wasn't planning on it.
Yeah.
It's how it is. A marker would have been better. Sharpie in your pocket would have been better. And he puts the wrong date on there. But it's kind of fun because I got pictures proven whenever.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to send it to PSA or not, but Tony's going to pass away probably in the not-too-distant future because he's old, and now he's got this movie and legacy that and he's trained a lot of these younger guys. So it might be something, might not, but that wasn't the purpose for it.
Yeah.
It's just kind of cool.
PC for you.
And I can tell that he was pretty, I mean, he's kind of happy about it because there's, you know, Jericho and some other names around here, and that's when we're buddies. So I'm going to help him up, and his pack of cigarettes falls out on the couch. And I'm like, hey, man, you dropped something there, and have you ever seen the Canadian cigarettes?
No.
They might be a collectible item in their self. They have pictures of the diseases that you can get from smoking on them. Like somebody with emphysema or like their lungs or something like that. Like very graphic, very whatever. And he goes, these things will be the death of me. I said, well, this tour hasn't killed you and your profession hasn't killed you. Smoking's probably the last of your worries right now, Tony. And he laughed and just thought it was good. And he gave me like a big old hug.
Oh, there you go.
He told me about Italy and his family. Like
we bonded.
We bonded like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So then I go and get in line. And, you know, it's not highly attended, but it was respectable.
It was
respectable. And I'm in line, and this couple behind me looks like your parents. Like, they're just middle-income parents.
Just regular people.
Yeah. And I'm kind of like, this is kind of not, because you got the film critic people.
Are they in the right line?
You got some film critics, and you got, like, some wrestling fans that you can kind of tell.
Oh, yeah, you know those guys.
And so these people... are sitting there kind of talking, and the lady looks at me and goes, so, are you a wrestling fan? I said, yeah, I'm a wrestling fan. Like, I'm up here. Like,
oh, yeah.
Obviously, when I was younger, it was a lot more, you know, but still it's nostalgic. I collect things, but I'm not going to get into all my details. But
sure.
I'm like, yeah, I am, but I'm not like, okay, I'm like, not like a dead hardcore, but I enjoy it and nostalgic.
He's a hardcore.
Yeah, but you never know who you're talking
about. It's true. You don't want to spill the beans.
I don't want to be like, well, yeah, my son's Chris Jericho. He's way into it or whatever, so... this couple's like, oh, well, we drove down from Canada.
Oh.
Like, you drove down from Canada for this? Oh, yes, my son, he's the guy that made the movie. Like, so we're down to support him.
Okay.
So their son's the filmmaker. So then I start talking with them.
I thought you were saying that their son's Tony. I'm like, Tony's going to live a long time.
No, Tony's parents are still alive. We got some issues. Or I need to figure out what they're doing. We need to move to Canada if Tony's parents are still alive. Anyway, so I get talking to them. We go sit through the movie. Jericho's sitting like a row or two in front of me. Like, I'm buddies now with all these people.
Oh, yeah.
After the movie, get out, and people are doing their thing, and I was going to go get another picture, but I'm like, yeah, I'll just leave it be. It's a good memory.
Yeah.
We did good. I come home. I'm kind of on cloud nine.
Oh,
can't believe all this happened. Just kind of weird out of my life. Just kind of weird that way. Never know what's going to happen, folks. You go out and you do something. I wasn't expecting to meet Chris Jericho. I wasn't expecting to talk to the guy that was the star. So the movie's all about him and his company and his tour. Like,
now you're going
to
make me watch this movie.
Like, he was the star of the movie, and me and him are just hanging out before the world premiere for a good 45 minutes, to the point where I'm like, hey, man, I need to go get in line to watch your movie. You know, it's just weird.
Yeah.
So put yourself in situations, make things happen, I guess is the moral of the story. Sure, you get cool things from it. You might have some collectibles. You might, you know, be able to make some money here and there. Your knowledge might pay off, but there's no reason that can't happen to somebody that's a big fan of whatever. You know?
So, like I said, long story short, summary of D. Roy's story time. He basically went up to go see a movie that he was extremely interested in, and he got the backdoor treatment.
I ended up hanging out with the stars of the film.
Oh, backstage treatment. Sorry.
Stars of the film.
Hanging out, hearing the inside scoop, you know, getting some interesting things. And like I said, it's always right place, right time. And there's no reason anymore to, you know, not be involved. Like I said, if you are the guy who loves, I don't know, baseball, basketball, you know, trading cards, dance, drama, theater, you know, there's a lot of opportunities now. And like I said, people are people. Like, it's the same thing. If somebody's like, hey, you know what? I'm a real fan of yours. You're a great accountant. I'm like, oh, how do you know that? Oh, I heard from so-and-so and so. And you know, it's nice when people recognize your work. You know, and it's the same thing. Like, we don't think about it because so many people, I guess, in, you know, media, their entire life is followed. You know, everything that they do. Oh, so-and-so went to the grocery store and bought this. So-and-so's, you know, on their way to Thailand. So-and-so's there. But a lot of times people will find out in your own life, you know, because when you're influential and help other people in good spots, no matter what it is, you know, these Tony and Jericho, they've provided a lot of entertainment, you know, different things that Derek has created memories with. And that's what it is. It's all going back to those kind of nostalgia things, you know, things that might take us away from the problems of the world, our own financial stress, emotional stress, you know, kids, wives, families with medical issues. You know, you get a little window into life of, hey, you know, life is good. We live in a great place. And Derek got to see the backstage of this whole thing. I mean, what a fun experience, because you're at right place, right time, D-Roy.
Yeah, put yourself in situations where you can succeed. Don't be afraid. I mean, if I wanted to talk to that guy originally, he wanted to drive over to, like, if it's, hey, are you this or that, or hey, are you associated here or there? Don't be afraid to have conversations with people. People are just people.
Worst case, they say no.
Yeah, no, and I'm here to watch the movie too. Oh, cool. This should be a good one.
And going back, just like A-Rod, that stinking son of a...
Hey, he's still banned.
A-Rod is banned. I don't care if Alex Rodriguez came to us and said, we're going to pay you $50,000 for an appearance on your podcast. You can take that money and shove it there, A-Rod.
And he could have my spot.
Well, that being said, D-Roy, there are two things in this world that are for certain, and that would be...
death piles and taxes.
copyright infringement.